That's probably a picture for my 20th anniversary. I don't even know where they found those. Wow, you know how conspicuous I feel right now? Crazy. Oh, well, at least I dressed for it. Just wanted to look my best, you know, for a 10th anniversary. And didn't even know it was Tacky Tourist Sunday. Ah, it's good to be here. Thank you for 10 years of blessing. 10 years of being able to serve with you and for your graciousness and for your willingness to, put up with my leadership and with its quirks and blessings. It's been good. God is good. Okay, all of that aside, I wanted to welcome you here this morning with some really good news. And this is the good news from Ephesians chapter 2. And this is really curious because I don't know if Nathan knew it, but I had been planning for several weeks to preach today on this very passage that Nathan just spoke. And so evidently, God really wants you to hear this today. Because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. That is the good news of why you're here this morning. That's the good news which brings you back week after week. That's the good news that makes us hungry and thirsty to hear it again. Because of his great love for us, God made us alive with Christ. That expresses what we're here after this morning. We want to be able to look back and then in the coming weeks look ahead in order to anticipate God's amazing grace at work in our lives, in my life, in your life, for this coming season. So as Mike suggested, we're going to have a couple of roving mics, and we want to hear from you today as we come back together after a summer break, and we're all curious about where you've been and so on, and we just want to hear a couple of stories of where you've been and how you've experienced God's presence in your life. So Mike, you still got a mic? And Dean, you want to grab this? And just chase around. Maybe there's a story that you have of somewhere where you've been this summer and you experienced in some way God's presence or maybe God's amazing grace in your life. And while you prepare for that and think about what you're going to say, let me tell you how we experienced. We had a great summer. Artie and I, had a beautiful summer. We had lots of things planned, and so we were anticipating good times. And we had 3 weeks away at a cottage on Lake Erie in Ontario, met together there with some family, had a beautiful time there, and got together with our girls and had some good family time together. And then a couple of Sundays ago, we went hiking, and Artie broke her leg up on the mountain. And, just to put it simply, that was really scary. But God was present in so many ways. I retold the story to several people now, and each time that I've told it, I've been surprised at the ways in which God was present in the midst of it. I mean, we're at, you know, in the middle of a mountain, and there's Artie laying on the ground, pool of blood around her leg and freaking me out. And we're in the States, so that's worrying me because we got 8 firemen coming, we've got search and rescue coming, we've got ambulance coming, we've got the sheriff coming. And I'm thinking, this is going to be really expensive. But man, the rescue team was amazing, risking their own life to get Artie safely down the mountain. It was a huge blessing. And then at one point, as we're going down the mountain, the firemen, they had to keep telling people, move aside, please, move aside, which there was no room to move aside, really, but people just had to scramble off the path. And people were generally very kind, but then there was this one person who sat there, and they were like that. And I gave her a dirty look, and then a guy behind me, he was helping carrying some of the equipment and so on, and he got, about, I don't know, 15 seconds later, he must have thought about it, must have saw my dirty look on the, and he just said, I'm really sorry that that person was doing that. And there's no reason why you should have experienced that. That's shameful. I couldn't believe it. And it was so encouraging. And then great nurses at the hospital, great hospital, surgeon right away the next day is able to do surgery. And everything was repaired, and I was tremendously thankful for great travel insurance and a wonderful claim agent that said, you are 100% covered, and so that blessed the socks off of me. God was sincerely present in the midst of every angle of that scary incident. And that's going to be a memory for us, just simply in terms of how God was present in our lives. But we want to hear from you, too. Maybe there were times, maybe not as spectacular. Maybe it was much simpler. Maybe it was just something very ordinary. But ways in which you've experienced God's presence. And just stick up your hand. I'm sure there's somebody.
We went to Oregon for the solar eclipse. I've never experienced one of these before, so it wasn't quite sure what I was in for. And as the eclipse went to 100% totality, it was like creation held its breath. The dogs stopped barking, the bees and the birds were quiet. It was complete and total silence, and there were over 100,000 of us in this valley waiting for the eclipse. But to have creation hold its breath, I think that was even more than the eclipse itself, was absolutely stunning to see that creation was waiting for this as well as all of us people. That was really cool. It was a God moment.
Marvelous. Thank you. Yeah. Really amazing. Someone else.
Hey, I'm Jordan. I could share about a lot of people that were healed or came to faith in Jesus this summer, but I was actually thinking back to something that was most powerful for me over the last couple months, is that one day my wife Jasmine was telling me, like throughout the day, kept bugging me about jobs she wanted help with, and I was just getting annoyed, and by the end of the night she was telling me, oh Jordan, can you come help me put the duvet cover on the bed, and like I just got to the point of really being annoyed with her all day. And anyways, I was helping her do the duvet cover, and I was just so annoyed. I just kind of jokingly, I said, well, maybe I should find a different wife. And so anyways, went to bed like that. And anyways, the next day I wake up with like a serious flu, like fever, and I was puking, diarrhea, the whole works. And at one point, I was sitting over top of the toilet, just puking out my guts. And God says to me, how dare you talk to my daughter like that? How dare you talk to my queen? She lives in my family of royalty. How dare you? As I'm puking my guts out, stop laughing, please. So later that day, I had to go to her and I had to apologize, ask for her to forgive me.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Jordan.
Bless you.
I'll just share something really quick. I think it's kind of cool that Pastor Nathan chose, I chose the same verse as Pastor Nathan, because that was been on my heart for a couple weeks, so that wasn't planned. I just want to reiterate the power of prayer. This summer we went to Iceland, where my wife's from, with our family, and awesome, really, really good experience. But my son was a little bit of a handful, let's say, for the first or the second night there. We pretty much had to walk out of a nice lamb dinner, and it's just a disaster. Felt kind of bad because these people had gone way out of their way, like family members, to make us this beautiful dinner. But then the next day, Blake was like completely changed, like 180. Best behaved, like we were able to have full conversations with people. It was like unreal. And so we went and talked to those people who had made us this dinner that we had to walk out on, and we asked them, like, did you guys by any chance pray for us? And he's like, yeah, like they all came together that night and they said this big prayer for Blake. And it was just such a obvious answered prayer. Like one day the next, he was just completely calm, and it was really cool just to see the power of prayer. And then just one other quick highlight, when we were in my wife's hometown, it was really, I don't know, I got a little overwhelmed. Like, we climbed up this volcano that she used to play in as a kid, and I kind of went right up to the top, and she was down in the crater with our kids, who are the same age as she was when she was playing, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful sight to get to see that.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. One more.
Hey, everyone. Oh. I have seen God's grace in my life this summer, starting my new nursing career. I just feel like he's had a lot of favor with me, with taking care of the patients that I've had on my shifts, and yeah, just no crazy situations yet, so I feel like he's really helping me ease into the career, and I feel, yeah, really blessed by that.
All right. Wow. Lots of different places. Iceland. Up on a mountain, in a hospital, in front of a toilet. Where have you been? Where have you been? I'm hoping that maybe we can share some more of these stories at the party after the service. But it's important to ask the question, not only where have you been, but where have you met up with God? And when we ask that question, then, we're not just talking about location. We're talking about something spiritual as well. Where have you been spiritually? Once, a long time ago, a community of people began wondering about that very thing. The Ephesian Christians. Paul had worked among these people. Many of them were converts, and they took a huge risk claiming Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Roman Empire tolerated a lot of things, but one thing they did not tolerate was any form of rebellion, and anyone who was called a Christian was labeled a rebel. And so people just didn't want to associate with you if you called yourself a Christian. And here's this community of Christ followers taking a risk with their life, socially, economically, politically, and just in terms of their own safety. And they're asking, where are we with God? What's our standing with God? And Paul, himself imprisoned, joyfully reminds them, though they faced hardship of their own, he reminds them of where they have been. As for you, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and in your sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. And then Paul says, and all of us, also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. All of us have been there. In some manner, we've been dead in our sins, enslaved to our own desires and thoughts, caught in the struggle to save ourselves. And when we ask ourselves where we've been, when we begin to examine ourselves, then we can begin giving up, trying to save ourselves, and find freedom in believing this good news. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. In the question, where have you been? Where have you experienced God? Where has God been present in your life? In that question, we celebrate this good news, God's grace in our lives. Where have you been? Where have you been this summer? Maybe even in some miserable places. But we've also been in the place of grace, God's grace. And that's why we're here this morning. Every one of us is in search of something, someone who can save us, who can bring us that lasting freedom. You know that experience when you're on vacation and you've got not a care in the world, and the scenery is beautiful and the food is great and everything is great and you just want it to last forever. Every one of us is in search of that lasting forever. And this is the place where we hear the good news because of God's great love for us. He has saved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions. That's why we're here this morning. This fall, as Mike mentioned earlier as well, we're going to be asking, where have we been? And then we're going to be asking, where are we going? And then we're going to be asking, how are we getting there? It's the theme of our next several messages, and it's going to be kind of the theme for the rest of the fall. And we need to recognize what we have hoped for. Where have we been? What have we been searching for? And we've been in some good places, but it can't save us. And we have done some pretty great things, but we can't trust in what we've done. We need to recommit to seeking the only Savior of our lives. Believing God's great love for us is the only thing that can save us. So here's what I want us to do. Here's what I want you to do. In the first place, I want you to remind yourself, maybe on a daily basis, I want you to remind yourself of God's grace in your life. Realize that it's not your work, your best efforts that'll save you. Realize that it's not your performance. It's not how great you are. It's not how great we are that's going to save us. Remind yourself of being found in God's good favor. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, Paul says. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So celebrate that. And keep on celebrating the times that you've recognized God's presence. Let yourself be surprised by it. Let yourself be arrested by it. Let God's presence seize you, stop you in your tracks even. I set out on vacation earlier this summer, and I was eager to have Jesus reveal himself, maybe in some really spectacular way. And I began praying for that and thinking, God, I'm ready. I'm prepared for this, man. I'm going to go on vacation, and you're going to do something spectacular. You know what I heard God say to me back? Nathan, I'm not at your beck and call. I don't need to do anything spectacular for you. Just enjoy my presence, which is all around you consistently and all the time. And so I had to learn to rest in that on my vacation. It's not always amazing things. It's not always spectacular. Sometimes it's in the ordinary routines of our lives. But we need to have our eyes open, our ears open. We need to have our hearts open to recognize it. Remind yourself of God's grace. Here's the second thing I want us to do. I want you to examine your life for spiritual health, starting today. I want you to go home, and I want you to say, so how is it with me? How is it with my relationship with God? I suspect you already know the places where you need to do some work. I suspect you already know the areas in your life that you need to pay attention to. I want you to examine your life for spiritual health and commit with me to examine the shape of your relationship with God. Look at where you have been. Confess the times that you've trusted in yourself, in your own abilities, in your own performance, in your own strengths. Or confess the times that you've trusted in other things, or maybe in other people. We're going to commit to knowing Jesus together, and here's my commitment to you. I made this commitment to the board, I made this commitment to the staff, and here's my commitment to you, to pray for all of us gathering here week after week. And I'm going to adopt Paul's prayer that he gives to the Ephesians. This is what he says in chapter 1. For this reason, after Paul has described God's amazing love that saves us, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, and I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Yes, that you will see God's presence in your life. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. That's you. That's us. A holy people called by God to be his holy vessels. Called to be his. So that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's my commitment to you. I want you to make a commitment. To yourself, to this church, to God, to know him better. And so the third thing follows from that, and it's this. Follow hard after Jesus. Ask yourself if God has you where he wants you. Maybe you have to admit that you're done with trying to fit into the world and what the world expects. Maybe you have to admit that you're done trying to save yourself, or maybe just trying to serve yourself, and you're done with that. Maybe you have to admit that you're done with trying to find something just a little more exciting. Are you ready to trust God with everything that your life consists of? Are you ready to trust God with your family? Are you ready to trust God with your job? Are you ready to trust God with your lifestyle and submit it to him? Are you ready to trust God with all of your possessions, all of the things you hang on to so dearly? Are you ready to trust God with your ambitions? Are you ready to sacrifice and give up those things for God's sake so that He'll have you where He needs you, where He wants you? There's an old story about a spectator at Niagara Falls, and it's an old story because I don't think they allow this kind of thing anymore, but a spectator was watching a high wire performer walk on a cable across the rim of the falls. And as the story goes, when at long last the high wire man dismounted at the end of the cable near the spectator, the enthusiastic watcher was among the first to rush over and begin gushing at the daring man. "Why, that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen," said the spectator.
You really think so?" said the performer.
"Oh, yeah," replied the man in the crowd. "I've never seen anyone as gifted with balance as you are. You're amazing. You're Superman. You could do anything up there."
"You think so?" said the performer. "In fact, you think I could make it across that wire, pushing that wheelbarrow over there?" said the high wire artist.
"Oh, certainly," said the man. You could probably do it blindfolded."
"You have that much confidence in me?" said the high wire performer.
"Oh, I do," said the man. "Oh, yeah, I could do that."
"Great," said the artist. "Now climb in the wheelbarrow." I'm asking you today to climb into the wheelbarrow. Jesus saves us. Jesus redeems us. Jesus frees us into life. And to make that the difference in our life, we need to trust Jesus with our whole life. We need to climb into the wheelbarrow. We need to climb into Christ, as it were, so that our whole life is defined by Him. So that we can join Him in the work that He does, the good work that He's gotten ready for us to do, good work that we had better be doing. Where have you been? And where are you going? Let's pray together. Almighty God, God of the universe, how great You are. A powerful God who casts stars in their place, a powerful God strong enough to handle planets and the entire universe, a God mighty enough to create out of nothing, a God who's shown us how much He loves us. God, we submit to You today. We pray, Father, that You'll reveal Yourself to us, that You'll startle us with Your amazing love, a love that redeems us, a love that calls us away from ourselves, a love that calls us away from our selfishness, a love that calls us away from our carelessness, a love that calls us to Yourself to give us life. God, in so many ways we want that so badly, and yet in so many ways we keep on ignoring it, in so many ways we keep turning our back on You. Forgive us. We repent of our arrogance. We repent of our ignorance. We repent of our carelessness. And so, Father, remind us of Your amazing grace. Help us to dare to examine our own lives. And help us to commit to following you, to step into the wheelbarrow, to dare to let you carry our lives, for you have good things for us to do. Teach us what it means to be obedient to you, to be faithful even as you are faithful. And may we give you all the praise and all the glory, for the kingdom is yours. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.